The work we do is to lead and coordinate the global HIV response so that all countries, rich and poor, can fight and end this disease. We are determined to end it by 2030. The biggest concentration of this epidemic is in Africa. About 75% of the people living with HIV are in Africa. But it's also the region that has been making the fastest progress in terms of reducing new infections and reducing deaths. But also, it's been able to do that with strong support, global support from rich countries. And today, we are seeing declines in this assistance at a time when the same African countries have huge challenges of climate disasters, of debt, that is, the debt repayments that are swallowing up investments in social services, conflict, and so many other challenges.
So you mentioned the decline in Western assistance. Recently, obviously, there's been the news about...
It was very, very sudden, very disruptive. Probably the biggest disruption since the fight against this disease. We are globally 73% funded by the United States. The United States alone has its own bilateral program called PEPFAR, and then it also contributes one-third of the resources of the Global Fund, which includes many other donors. So in total, the United States has been leading very strong in the fight against HIV in the developing countries that cannot afford to pay for their full responses. Now that was frozen immediately. We then showed that this was going to lead to deaths, and the United States administration then gave a waiver about a week later. But still, with the waiver, there is a lot of confusion in countries about what can and cannot be paid. And already thousands of health workers in many countries have already been laid off, contracts of civil society groups cancelled, and restarting. It isn't clear what is going to be restarted and what is not. The whole point is that the United States administration, we would want them to consider a transition that is orderly. It can't be right to drop the ball when people's lives depend on some medication they get every single day, babies are born, and there is mother-to-child transmission if treatment isn't, mothers are not put on treatment in time and are helped not to transmit. Prevention, there are so many people, girls especially, young women, who are prey to forced sex, need prevention tools and all of that.
Thinking about this fight against HIV, AIDS, what role do you think that religious institutions can play?
As I said, today we've seen a major disruption in services. Prevention, testing, treatment services are disrupted in many countries, and we need to get them back full force. We need to get other donors also to increase their investment, because these countries are not going to be able to find the money immediately to keep their people alive. Faith-based organizations have been very important players in championing global solidarity to fight this disease. We want them to step up their voice and call for justice for people who live with HIV, and to call for humanity, call for global solidarity to keep this response going, particularly to call on European countries to increase their contributions to fill the gap, but also to ask the United States to reconsider and keep the response going as we work with governments to take over in an orderly and gradual way. So faith-based organizations have been leaders, particularly on fighting stigma, fighting discrimination, and these are the real reasons why so many people are still not on treatment, because they are hounded by there are barriers to their receiving services because they are discriminated and there's stigma against them. The churches, the mosques have been instrumental here, and we need them now to speak more forcefully and to persuade governments to step in. People's lives are at stake.
Is there anything else you want to add before we end the interview? Maybe, I don't know, I thought about the importance of today's event as well and, yes. and the role of taxation.
At this very important meeting on taxation, we are calling for a global tax convention where every country can sit at the table and agree on how to close tax loopholes that are denying developing countries the resources they need to invest in social services, health, education, social protection, and to develop their infrastructure. $88.6 billion that Africa loses in illicit financial flows every year could turn around the continent, be invested in the lives of people. It's significant that the Vatican, the Pope, has convened this meeting and is framing this question of tax injustice as a moral issue, not just an economic issue, and leading, and so calling on other faith organizations to join this push on debt restructuring, on reform of the global tax system, on progressive taxation, taxing the rich. These are the things that will deliver the resources needed to deliver on the right to health, the right to education, the right to social protection.